We're at Dalymount Park this lunchtime, the home of Irish football and of Bohemians on Dublin's north side, where hundreds of people have been watching Ireland's historic opening game of the Women's World Cup in Australia on a giant screen on the pitch in front of us here on the Jodie Stand. Our fourth Senior World Cup, our first in over 20 years, and a first for Irish women. It's just finished, a 1-0 defeat, a second-half penalty from captain Stephanie Catley. Here's how it happened.
Crucial moment in this game. Is this the turning point? No chance. No chance for Brosnan. Super penalty from Catley. And Australia lead 1-0.
The only goal in the game, as described by George Hamilton on RTE2 television earlier. Let's cross live from Dalymount to Stadium Australia. Our reporter Samantha Librari is pitchside. Sam.
Hi Gavin, well I'm watching the Irish team here as they wave to the Irish supporters in the crowd who've hung around to cheer them on despite the result. They looked quite disappointed as they passed us here a few minutes ago, and you might hear still there's a few olays echoing in the background. The stadium has pretty much emptied out, but you know, there had been hope as this team went out at half time. They'd managed to stave off the Australians' attacks, and it was a scrappy first half with neither side really making an impact, but that penalty in the 50th minute changed the game. Now it looked for a couple of minutes like the Australians were going to act on that momentum and that it could have gotten worse, but around the 70th minute things picked back up and the substitutes Abby Larkin and Lucy Quinn made an impact when they came on. Megan Connolly came close with a free, a cross from Abby Larkin to Katie McCabe at the end also came close, as did a Louise Quinn header, but it wasn't to be for Ireland. That 1-0 scoreline, not what we wanted, but probably not unexpected.
What was it like being in the stadium, Sam? 75,000 people there and a lot of Irish people.
That's right. There'd been much made in the run-up to this about how many Irish fans would be inside this stadium because it was a sellout, because there are so many Irish people in Australia. Predictions that it might be 50-50, but honestly, it wasn't close, I would say. You know, there were pockets of Irish fans who were very loud, perhaps maybe about 10,000 if you wanted to guess, but there was, you know, when the Matildas were on the ball, the roar was fairly fierce and it was fairly obvious that the majority of people here were supporting Australia. But the Irish contingent here, you can still hear them in the background, that, you know, they made themselves heard, they made their presence felt, and I'm sure especially in those closing minutes when we came close, that made a big difference on the pitch.
Huge relief amongst the Australian contingent supporting the Matildas. There will be disappointment for Ireland considering how close we came to getting a point in this World Cup.
That's right, but I suppose the focus will now shift to the next two games, and they're not going to be easy asks either. Remember, we're flying across the country to Perth. It's quite a substantial journey. Actually, the team themselves go back to Brisbane first, then they make that journey, and then they face Canada, who are the Olympic champions. Then they're on to Brisbane to face Nigeria, and I suppose we won't know how either of those teams are until we see their games in the coming days. But it's an uphill battle from here. But as I said, you know, nobody went into this game expecting Ireland to win. They knew, you know, they were playing the hosts, they were playing the opening game, and in some ways there was less pressure on them than there was on Australia. Australia have delivered, you know, a decent scoreline for them, and they have the 3 points. So, you know, it's the focus now will be on that game against Canada.
Sam, thank you. That's our reporter Samantha Librari, pitchside at Stadium Australia in Sydney. Back here at Dalymount Park in Dublin, we're at the top of the Jodie Stand, where I can see the bulldozers redeveloping the grounds here opposite me. Phibsborough Shopping Centre towering over the goal to my right, Glasnevin Cemetery and Croke Park in the distance. It's been a long uphill journey for women's soccer to get to Australia today. 50 years since her first international and Paula Gorham's hat-trick against Wales. Half a century of battling through bad facilities and bad attitudes. And for the hundreds of young girls at Dalymount today, in jerseys and waving flags, many of them players here at Bowes, those battles aren't over. But Ireland at a World Cup is a huge boost. Laura Whelan has been talking to some of the over 500 people watching here today.
And definitely, I think for young girls to see the inspiration that you can do anything you want, you can get to the World Cup. It's unbelievable in any sport.
Well, I think it's just so special that we've qualified for the World Cup that they've embraced it, and it's her first time down here, and she got to kick ball there in the hallowed turf of Daly Mount Park. So the weather's playing ball at the minute.
It's so nice to see women's sport being supported as well. Obviously I'm a sports fan and a sports player myself, and I hope to see women's sport and girls being more involved in sport in the future.
And particularly for your girls, maybe this might be an inspiration for them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that you know, the girls in this team are definitely have been an inspiration to the country, and there's great interest in it, which is fantastic to see. And I'd love to see girls, especially teenagers, you know, continuing to play sport, and for it to be cool and something that children aspire to, not just the boys but the girls as well.
Oh, mad into soccer, yeah. Liverpool and Man United. We work in the community, we're a youth group, but these two lads came up from Sean McDermott Street, the best part of Dublin, to represent Dublin One and support the women in the Ireland match. Oh well, they see that women are just as good as men, and they're well able, and they can go out and represent our country, make us proud, and all the boys are here to represent them, and the Bowes fan at the end, the big Bowes fan.
Anyone want to predict a score, or would you put money on it?
7-0
to Ireland. Yeah.
3-1.
We're from Cameron. And tell me, why are you here today?
To support the Ireland.
And are you very excited for the match today?
Yeah, very.
Are you girls soccer players yourselves?
Yeah.
And Mammy, you've got two girls here who play. In terms of inspiration, how important is a day like today?
You can't buy this sort of inspiration for kids. It's absolutely amazing. They both play for Bowes. They're both huge soccer supporters anyway, but for them to be here today and to see how hard it's been for the women to get to this point, I mean, hats off to them. It's been an unreal journey.
And as somebody who stands on the sidelines every weekend, this must be great for the next generation of girls coming through.
I actually coached them. I started on the sidelines and very quickly got involved. We were expecting to see many more girls coming up to try and join the team now.
Some of the over 500 people gathered here at Daly Mount Park today to watch the Ireland's opener in the World Cup against Australia, many of whom have left at this stage. The stadium much quieter than it was when you heard us at the very opening of the programme, when we got the last minute of the game at the top of the programme here today. Joining us at the top of the stand here, Mary Curtin, who played 55 times for Ireland over 12 years at the start of the century. She also played club football in Ireland and in the US and Norway. She also won a junior All-Ireland title with Limerick. Conan Byrne is here with me too. He's a former League of Ireland footballer with Shells, Pats, UCD and more, and he's also a familiar voice on RTE radio and podcast. Mary and Conan, thank you both very much for coming with us today. Mary, much quieter now, but at the very start of the programme, it looked as if we might get an equaliser, and there is a sense of disappointment that we came so close to getting something out of this game.
Yeah, Gavin, we gave a great account of ourselves today, which was, I think, a great relief to the fan. We certainly didn't give them an easy game by any means. We looked to possess well at moments in the game, maybe momentarily, because we always did revert back to that defensive shape, that rigid shape, as we know from Vera. But, you know, there were many chances where we looked to get out and counter-attack, which was really encouraging. And as the game went on, you know, particularly the last 20 minutes when the subs refreshed the game a little bit, we kept pushing. Okay, maybe we didn't challenge Australia as could have been, just things didn't fall right for us, but very, very happy with the performance. And look, for a penalty to decide the game, that's a really strong performance by Ireland.
Conan, up until the goal, up until the penalty, Australia weren't really cutting through us. It looked like we might be able to hold on. They weren't threatening.
Even after the goal, Gavin, Australia didn't seem to penetrate us at all. I thought the back three were absolutely magnificent, led by Louise Quinn for 80 minutes until she went up front looking for that equalising goal, which we very, very nearly got with the last kick of the game. But yeah, like right up to the penalty incident, and for the penalty itself, we had our left side of midfielder, Marissa Shiva, coming back to defend where Katie McCabe had already got herself forward. So she was just covering Katie McCabe, and it was just an unfortunate situation where she got the wrong side of the attacker and brought her down. And you could see the devastation in Shiva after the game at the final whistle, where all the girls are consoling her, and it was really disappointing for her to know that at the same time she put her heart and soul into that performance, but it was that just lack of experience possibly and decision making that cost Ireland today.
Mary, as somebody who's worn the Ireland jersey 55 times, try and put yourself in the dressing room now with the Irish team, that for all the talk and the fear that they might be coming off the back of a huge defeat against one of the favourites in this World Cup. Sam Kerr, their star player, wasn't available. That gave Ireland a huge boost going into this game. What will they be feeling in the dressing room today? Will it be that sense of, damn it, we could have got something out of this?
Yeah, a little bit. Look, of course, they're going to be devastated not to get something. You know, they set up their game plan very well, didn't manage to do so. Yeah, it's a tough one. They're not going to dwell, though, and they can't dwell for too long because, look, next game now, we have Canada to think about. And, you know, and so till we go, we just have to pick ourselves up now and look at the positives. There were many, many positives in the game. There were a lot of good performances, a lot of very good performances. And I'm sure the background team will be looking at areas we can improve. I think we would be silly not to look further at throws. For the amount of throws we got, our success rate was very, very poor. I know in the game nowadays there are technical coaches only for throws, you know. We just did not have a good success rate. And if
we lost possession of so many of our throws.
So many. I'd say we kept one, maybe two, even on Katie's side. But it's the style of football we're playing under Vera, where we're going to sit. Well, we have to step up and manage set pieces better. And so from our throws, well, we just look like a bit of a one-trick pony. We need to have more options. We need to, you know, the management need to come up with different movements, you know, switches, different options off throws to keep the possession, because it's not good enough at this level. And if we're going to be that sitting team, then we need to be possessing where we can. Fair enough, if we're going long for kickouts, that's fine. We're not willing to build out from the attack, but throws, we need to be possessing better off those.
Conan, big crowd here at Daly Mount Park today. Lots of watch parties going on throughout the country. And yet, when you go into some of the shops, there isn't the same feel as you would have got before the last time Ireland were in a World Cup over 20 years ago, or when the men were in Euros. Some of the streets around here have bunting. A lot of them don't, though. It's hard to quite assess just how much Ireland is into this World Cup at the moment.
It's very disappointing, Gavin, if I'm being completely honest. Walking through my hometown yesterday and not a single bunting across the main street, which is really, really disappointing for a town of its size. I live in Swords. Going into shops within the area as well, no promotion of the World Cup at all in the sports shops. And again, very disappointing. But then when you see the crowd that was here today, you can see the watch parties that are happening throughout the country. It just seems to be a case that it's people that are involved in football, and the people that don't like football are not involved in football. They're not. Don't seem to be as wanting to get involved, which is even worse, considering that this Irish women's team are in a World Cup. They've faced so much adversity over the years. Less than 10 years ago they were on strike over their conditions. So it just goes to show how far they've come. But we want the Irish sport to jump on this support too. That's important.
Mari, how far has Irish football come since you stopped playing, which is not all that long ago?
No, I hung up the boots around the end of 2012, you know, probably mostly because just lack of opportunities, really, in the sense that, you know, with myself, you know, I had to think about a career, and I felt it wasn't going anywhere. We're at a much different stage now, you know, just it's completely different. It's worlds apart. But just as Conan mentioned, you know, there's so much more to go. You know, even in Limerick, where I'm from, I know we have a matter of an All-Ireland final
this weekend.
Yes. But still, we have, you know, we have Ciara Reardon representing Limerick essentially in the World Cup, and there's not enough out there for us. There's not enough out there. So yeah, commercially, let's see businesses coming out in force, and you know, and take those opportunities, and you know, I think that's an opportunity lost by them.
Even Conan, just the fact that we're here in Daly Mount Park, the home of Irish football, I mentioned at the top of the programme, this would have been where Irish internationals, including many women's internationals, they won a game here against Belgium back in the early 1980s. But the stadium, as you can see, it's a long way to go to being redeveloped. Both fans don't have happy memories of you and your 100th league goal. We won't talk about that here now.
Why not?
But as symbolic of where Irish football is, we've a long way to go here.
We do have a long way to go, and I suppose last week when Labour put that motion in the Dáil about trying to promote football in Ireland, women's football facilities, that's what it's all about. We need to improve facilities here, like you can see at Dalymount Park, like, as you say, the home of Irish football. But if you have somebody that's coming into Ireland for the first time or wanting to get involved in League of Ireland football for the first time and you bring them down here, will they come back with the state of facilities that it is? Now, I know they're doing fantastic and Trojan work in the community and the stadium that is going to be redeveloped in a couple of years, but you want to entice fans to grounds around the country.
Conan Byrne and Mary Curtin, thank you both very much for speaking to us this afternoon. More on the opening of the World Cup a little bit later on in the programme.